On a clear day, the North Cascades and Olympic Mountains are visible from nearly everywhere in Seattle. Our close proximity to these two mountain ranges is part of the reason why mountain climbing is so popular here. It's also why Litza Dromisis has three pieces of advice for climbers.
Have your will in order. Have an honest discussion with your loved ones. Should I die climbing? I love you. Know that I died doing what I loved. This might not bring you any solace, but I need to do this. And thirdly, be as careful as possible.
A little more than 5 years ago, Dromisis's best friend and partner of 21 years died while climbing in the North Cascades. His name was TJ Langley. Everyone called him Neil. Litza Dromisis writes about Neil's death, his life, and the culture of mountain climbing in her new book, Altitude Sickness. She told me what it was like to suddenly lose her best friend and partner.
He was here and then he wasn't. And we searched for him for 4.5 days. I wasn't in the mountains because I am disabled, but I've always said, had he come home alive, those 4.5 days in which he was missing would have been the most devastating of my life. And there's no good way to die young. He was 42 when he died. But the shock and the way in which he died compounded the horror of losing him. That was the nightmare, that he could go missing and die in the mountains.
You write about his death in the context of other very close calls that he had, attacked by a bear, almost died, rode his bike around Seattle, mountain climbing for years.
Right.
Why frame Neil in this way?
He identified as a climber. At his core, nothing brought him more joy than climbing. He loved the outdoors. He used to say he wished he had been born a century prior. And my father, who grew up under Nazi occupation and who lived outdoors for entirely different reasons as a child, would tease him. There was no REI a century ago. But the reason in Altitude Sickness, the book, that I started digging around to find research between the neurological similarities between addicts and high-altitude climbers, discussing the dangers of climbing with a climber is very much like discussing alcohol with an active alcoholic. And they are otherwise themselves. And the minute you touch on the topic of climbing, they will come up with every excuse why it's not as dangerous as it seems. And I did not know there was so much pre-existing research, neurological research already in motion, because there is an incredible amount of similarity between the two behaviors. And the prevailing theory is, neurologically, they are hardwired to need more dopamine. That their baseline brains, basically, at a baseline level, they need more activity to stimulate dopamine production.
You know, talking to you, Litza, I'm thinking how interesting it is that this was your best friend, because you didn't share that world.
No. It's funny, our circle of friends, we had about 6 or 7 friends we had in common. We ourselves were aware of the fact we had very little in common. I am a writer. I'm legally disabled. I walk with crutches. Even if I woke up healthy tomorrow, I would have no interest in climbing. We felt like home to one another. And in the ways that many best friendships or relationships are ephemeral, I don't know why it worked, but it did.
I'm talking with Litza Dromisis. She's a local writer, and she's written a new book called Altitude Sickness, and it's the very personal story about losing her best friend and sometime partner, Neil, who died on a climbing trip in the North Cascades. But it's also a cautionary tale about mountain climbing and about mountain climbers. I want to go back to that notion of comparing the brains of mountain climbers to the brains of addicts. What about Neil got you thinking about that in the first place? And what were you looking for when you did the research?
The fact that 5 years later, as we all know, there's more, you're more clear-headed 5 years after the fact. And looking back, what could I have done differently? What could Neil have done differently? And realizing I had attempted at every turn to say, honey, what are you doing? This is getting more and more dangerous. And having hundreds of emails from him still and sifting through them, it was as if I were discussing this with an active heroin user, with an active alcoholic. He was otherwise brilliant and salient and funny and compassionate. But when we reached the topic of climbing, he could deny the risks at any point. The sentence I use in the book, I used with him repeatedly, that no amount of experience or salience will trump avalanche or loose rock. And he would always say, well, I'm wearing my helmet. Well, I've planned this route really carefully. I know what I'm doing. I'm really experienced. I have all my gear. You know, I'm giving you my itinerary. You'll know where I am in case something goes wrong. But he never answered the central premise. You can't prepare for an avalanche or loose rock.
Did you compare him to him as a heroin addict? Did you ever say, Neil, you are like a drug addict with this?
No, not while he was alive. That it was after his death, after the devastation started to subside, that I really realized, hey, it was not any different than my friends who had, you know, got clean on their own as addicts.
You also argue pretty strongly that mountain climbers are selfish in the pursuit of this. Would you say things like that if Neil had not died?
Oh, yes. I said that the part... I am completely comfortable being judgmental in this respect. I said that to him while he was alive, and I said that to his friends. To be candid, none of us are on good terms at all anymore, and we are all fine with that. I made that point with Neil and his friends repeatedly that I thought it was selfish, that should something go wrong, what happens to those of us who love you? I have never wanted to be more wrong about anything in my life.
I'm talking with Litza Dramusis. She's the author of a new ebook. It's called Altitude Sickness, and she writes about mainstream culture, which venerates mountain climbers, and especially in this part of the country, but an activity that you see is perhaps unnecessarily risky and ultimately selfish. You say there should be a support group for people like you who've lost loved ones to climbing. Would you actually join it?
Ideally, there would be a support group, because when you lose a loved one to climbing, you realize you fall midpoint between those who have tragically lost their loved ones to suicide or those who've lost their loved ones to an accident. He wasn't in any way suicidal, but it wasn't an accident. He was an active contributor to his own death. Ideally, there would be a support group. Would I join it? Yes, with the caveat that if anyone romanticized climbing or started spouting the phrase I am absolutely sick of, at least they die doing what I loved, that I would reserve the right to get up and walk out of the room.
Litza, listening to you, Neil was somebody so special to you. Have this advice for the people who are climbers, the people who are the risk takers, but I wonder if there's some sort of protection or some sort of emotional advice you have for people who befriend climbers who are not climbers themselves.
Understand that should you choose to maintain the friendship or the relationship, you love them enough to want them to lead the life that makes them happiest. And if climbing makes them happiest, you have to accept that. And with Neil, I did accept that. It's easy to condense 21 years into a few minutes. Most of the time we got along famously. It was very hard every time there was breaking news alert, climber missing. Any time this happened when he was off climbing, my heart would just stop. And I don't mean this to sound disrespectful of his death, but I no longer panic when I hear a climber is missing because the worst has happened. And that, I'm saying that with no disrespect, right. But paradoxically, I don't freeze when I hear that it's happened. I feel awful for the loved ones, and I'm always rooting that the person missing comes home alive and intact and healthy. I don't live with this constant sense of dread anymore because tragically it happened.
Litza Dramusis is author of the new ebook Altitude Sickness. It's about the life and death of her best friend T.J. Langley, better known as Neil.